Please be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, one day we will fly away. We will meet you in the clouds and be with you forevermore. That's the plan you have for your church. But Lord, until that day happens, you have given us instructions about being your church. You've also revealed mysteries to us. And today, Lord, we will look at one of those mysteries. And I ask, Lord, that you give me your words. I ask you to give me the ability to do justice by this passage, that I be able to explain it with the passion and the zeal it so deserves. For us to understand, to truly understand what we are going to learn this morning. So Lord, I ask you to give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts that are truly going to receive what you are going to tell us in this sermon today. So I put it in your hands, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. We are Team Jesus. Concept we have been working on for a while now to understand that we are to be one. We have a mission. Last week we finished up looking at submission. Submission to the government, to employers, bosses. Wives submitting to their husbands, and husbands submitting to their wives. The husband and wife, we have found out, need to respect each other, cherish each other, love each other. Husband and wife, both of them putting the needs of the other one first. That's what makes a strong and beautiful marriage. That's why it's so important for those things to take place, because we need strong marriages. Why is it so important that we have strong marriages in our country? Well, strong marriages make strong families. And the marriage, the family unit, is the foundation for all of our society. If that goes, the society goes. But there's also another reason. God created marriage between a man and a woman. It's a mystery that is now being revealed in the New Testament. So today the sermon is in 1 Peter chapter 3, the mystery of marriage. Is that feedback coming from the monitors or from the main speaker? Yeah, kill the monitors because I'm picking up. Huh? On you. So it must be the monitors I'm picking up. Okay. So, the mystery of marriage, 1 Peter chapter 3, we're verses 1 and 7, and we'll also be in Ephesians 5. Now, here in these passages, we have come to a golden nugget. Now, all of Scripture is a treasure. But this is a golden nugget. You find these special treasures inside the main treasure. It's a golden nugget here, this mystery of marriage. We're going to start to figure what this golden nugget is, starting with this sermon today and the next two sermons. The next two sermons that I'll be preaching next week is Betrothed or Engaged. And then the week after that, a not-so-Cinderella sermon. I really, really, really encourage you to be here for the next three Sundays, including today, so you're here. But do not miss what God is teaching us here. This is so important. But today we're going to be in the mystery of marriage. And we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. We understand what marriage is and how desperate we need it in our country, in all countries. Strong marriages, strong families. But what is the true meaning of marriage? God established the marriage relationship in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning. So let's go back there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's the most intimate of relationships. No one will ever be closer to you in this life than your spouse. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what marriage is supposed to be like. The marriage relationship and the family it produces is the foundation of all societies on the earth. All nations. All are based on the marriage relationship. A man and woman becoming one flesh, producing children who grow up, get married, and produce children of their own. All of society of every nation is based upon this marriage relationship. It's how God designed it. That's why it's so important. But if you destroy marriage, you destroy the family. When you destroy the family, you destroy the society. When you destroy the society, you destroy the nation. This is what God has designed it to be. Marriage is very important. Must be done according to His standards. The relationship between a man and a woman is supposed to be the most loving, caring, and protective of all relationships. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Husbands, likewise, be submissive. Dwell with them with understanding. John MacArthur points out, and I shared this in the last sermon, that men, submission is the responsibility of every Christian husband. Though not submitting to your wife as the leader or the head, but the believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being sensitive to her needs, fears, and her feelings. In other words, a Christian husband needs to subordinate his needs to hers, whether she is a Christian or not. John MacArthur. But it doesn't stop there for the husband. No, the husband is called to go over and beyond that. Likewise, submission. But then he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And here is where we're going to start to find this nugget. We're going to start to discover the true meaning of marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, agape love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Paul ties the marriage relationship between the man and the woman directly to the church in Jesus Christ. The marriage relationship is unique, none other like it. But so is the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. The church is a unique entity in this world, made up of many different individuals, but given the personal pronouns of her and she. The body of believers who have all been born again by the Holy Spirit through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, believers, male and female, now make up the body of Christ, the church, whom Jesus has a unique relationship with. And through this unique relationship, Jesus seeks to cleanse the church, all the individuals who make up the church, to cleanse all of them completely through the Word of God. We know it in this church, because we have taught it many times now, the sanctification process of every believer. That one day, Jesus can present the whole church to Himself, a glorious church, holy and without blemish, just as Eve in all her perfection was presented to Adam in the very beginning. We'll see this in a minute. But let's go to verse 28 of Ephesians 5. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and His bones. So the husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And it points out we are members of His body, of His flesh, His bones. Again, very similar to what the relationship of Adam and Eve was like in the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Eve was presented. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, everything God does has meaning and purpose. We may not fully understand it. We may not see it and understand it for a long time. But everything God does has meaning and purpose. And here, the way He designed the relationship between Adam and Eve, between man and woman, marriage, He designed it to reveal a great mystery. A mystery that was not understood here when it happened. And a mystery that wasn't understood through the entire Old Testament period. But a mystery that would be revealed fully in the New Testament. Ephesians 5, verse 31. "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning," Paul says, "Christ and the church." The marriage between a man and a woman was designed in such a way to reveal a hidden truth, a great mystery. In the New Testament, there are mysteries revealed by God, things that God did not reveal in the Old Testament. May have alluded to them, may have given a shadow of things, but the mysteries are revealed in the New Testament. This is one of them. The church and Christ. Marriage between a man and a woman. Just as the man and the woman can have a very unique relationship inside marriage, two lives becoming one, ideally as God intended, never to be separated again, the marriage relationship God designed in the beginning, though we did not understand, was pointing to another unique relationship that would exist thousands of years later. Christ and the church. A unique relationship between God and New Testament believers. Different relationship from what the Old Testament saints had. It was actually the Old Testament saints that looked for this and wondered about this unique relationship that they did not have. Because it wasn't revealed until Jesus Christ came. We see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. They, in context here, Old Testament saints, were stoned, were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. You see, the Old Testament saints were saved by faith, just like New Testament. They had faith that God would redeem them one day. We have faith that God redeemed us. They looked forward. We look back to the cross. But see, they didn't see the cross. They didn't know how God was going to redeem them. They just had faith He would. Verse 39, "And these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, New Testament believers, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It's not that we're better than them or they're... There was something that they did not fully grasp, understand, and have. They had faith, but there was something for the New Testament believer that was going to be more special, unique. Peter also addressed this in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand, the Old Testament, the sufferings of Christ, the Old Testament prophecies, and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, some of the Old Testament prophets got to see, like Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, 23. They got to see things about this Christ who had come. It was revealed to them, but not to themselves. They did not get to experience Christ. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, New Testament believers. They were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. What is Peter saying here? The Old Testament saints did not have this unique relationship with Jesus. Even the angels that are in His presence at this very moment in heaven do not have what we have in Christ. What we have is the church, the bride of Christ, is truly unique and special. Especially looking at the Old Testament saints and the angels. Because we know Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints did not know Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the God they could not see. We have His words. We have His teachings. We know His love because we have the cross. We see the love that was demonstrated on the cross. We, as New Testament believers, the church, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, never to leave us. The Old Testament saints did not have that. The angels do not have this kind of relationship with God, experiencing the grace and the mercy. We have the Word of God complete. You know how special that is? To have a Bible. And we as the New Testament church, only us. Not the Old Testament saints. Not the tribulation saints. Not the angels. Only us are called the bride of Christ. It's a very unique relationship. Let's look at this marriage relationship. The marriage covenant. Two parties enter in by choice, by free will. No shotgun weddings. Okay? Two parties, man, one woman, they enter in. Vows are made to one another. As believers, we commit ourselves to God's standards. Our vows come from here. Our commitments come from here for marriage. So let's wrap it up, summarize it real quick. Husbands, likewise, submit, putting your wife's needs before your own. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor, Cherish the wife. To the weaker vessel, provide protection. Husbands, love your wives with the love of God, agape love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So a husband needs to submit, seeing his wife needs better, giving honor to the wife, cherishing her, see her as the weaker vessel, precious, cherish her, protect her, love her with the love of God. Okay? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, just as the church is subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Don't let your adornment be merely outward, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word there is reverence. So the wife is to submit, just as the husband is submitting to her needs. The wife submits to her husband's needs in everything, just as the church submits to Christ. She is to focus not just on the outward appearance, but what's most precious in the sight of God, the inward heart, having the heart of Christ. Again, this is the sanctification process, becoming the image of Christ. And she is to respect her husband. She is to have a reverence for her husband. Profound adoring. Complete allegiance to. That's marriage. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Marriage, with all its meaning, right there in verse 31, directly connected to what Paul says next. This is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. The marriage covenant points to the new covenant. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my body of the new covenant, which is shed for many in the remission of sins." The new covenant. Salvation in Christ. To be born again. In Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. To enter into a unique relationship with God. Personal. To know God in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said was eternal life. That they may know you, God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The new covenant is being saved, being born again, entering into a unique relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Let's look at this new covenant through the eyes of marriage. New covenant. Jesus is the husband, the bridegroom that we sing about. As the husband in the relationship, he's got to fulfill the commitments of a husband. Submitted, and he did. He submitted himself for us upon the cross. He esteemed our need greater than his. He esteemed us better than himself when he died in our place. He honors us and cherishes us with his death. He gives us his righteousness. He glorifies us in his blood. He seals us with his Holy Spirit. He protects us as the weaker vessel. He protects us as a shepherd protects his sheep. And he loves us with the perfect love of God. Because he is God. Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of a husband in a marriage. And he continues to fulfill those to each and every believer. Now let's look on the other side of the new covenant, the other part of the relationship. The church. Us. Fulfilling the role of wife. Bride of Christ. We are called to submit to Jesus as Lord in everything. We are called to focus on the inward. So we surrender to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. The inward beauty of the Spirit of God in us, of Christ in us. We have reverence for Christ. The ultimate respect. Complete allegiance to Him and Him alone. You see, the marriage covenant points to the new covenant found in Jesus Christ. When God instituted it in Genesis chapter 2, and then told us in Genesis chapter 3 of the one who would come, it was already planned. It was already pointing. We did not see it in human history for a long time, but it has been revealed. Why is this unique relationship between Christ and His church, why is it needed today? Why was it needed then, back in the Old Testament? Why today? Just like all society is dependent on the marriage relationship, strong marriages make strong families, which make strong communities and societies and nations. Just like the marriage relationship is needed, the marriage relationship, this unique relationship between Christ and His church is needed because all of the world is depending on us, on the church, to bring the truth, to bring the gospel. We've been given such a fantastic mission. It's called the Great Commission. Everyone who is saved from the time of Christ on is because of the church took their relationship with Christ seriously. Because the church is the vessel that God uses to bring His truth. This unique relationship is needed because no other people in human history have had this great commission put upon them. The church has. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." If someone's going to be a disciple of Christ, they have to be saved. They have to be evangelized. "Go therefore and make the disciples of all the nations." Understand, we've got to take the gospel to the people. Then you take them and you teach them. "Therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Only those who are born again can be baptized. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The end of the church age. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of all the earth." Whew. That's a big responsibility, is it not? That's a big calling. This is why this unique relationship between Christ and the church is needed. Different than the Old Testament saints. Different than the tribulation saints in the future. This is a major mission to take the gospel to all the world. We, the church, are to go out into all the world. The Old Testament saints did not have this commission. They were the vessel God used to bring the Messiah, to bring salvation, to bring the Old Testament scriptures, because that's the foundation for the new. But they were not told to go out and evangelize the world. That's the job of the church, of the bride, of us. That's our job. And we need a unique relationship between us and God, us and Jesus, to accomplish this great commission. And it is the very reason that Satan, the enemy, wants to destroy churches, wants to compromise churches, corrupt churches. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and his favorite meal are believers. To compromise. To not see the correlation between the commitment of the marriage vows and the relationship of being the church with Christ. You see, we understand we need to take our marriage vows seriously. But we don't see the same way being the church. Satan wants people to compromise, to not see this. He wants to destroy marriage because he knows marriage is symbolic of the church in Christ. So he gets to destroy both. He hates both. What destroys marriages? Loss of communication is the number one. Counseled many people over the years, many marriages, especially as my time as a chaplain in the Army. Loss of communication was the number one thing. We just don't talk anymore. We just don't talk. I'm busy doing my stuff. She's busy doing her stuff, or vice versa, or both of them, and they stop talking. And they grow apart. And love grows cold. Or as they describe it, I fell out of love. And now I understand, when I say things like that, I know they don't understand love because love is not an emotion. Love is a choice of the mind and the heart. We choose to love. Can't fall out of love. Loss of communication, the relationship gets strained. Usually because one side or both sides are focusing on self. My needs are not being fulfilled. I've heard that many times in counseling. He doesn't fulfill my needs. She doesn't fulfill my needs. A lot of times it leads to unfaithfulness and to cheating. Folks, it's the same. It is the same with our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, as the church, we can begin to become complacent in our relationship with Christ. Yes, He's our Savior. Praise God, right? But He's our Lord. He's our spouse, symbolically. And that's hard for men. It's probably one of the reasons I've never delved real deep into this subject. Because it's weird for men, I understand that. Talking this marriage language. But understand this. Our relationship with Christ is as the church. And we can slowly begin to lose our passion and our zeal for what we have. And it's just as bad, if not worse, than letting that happen in your marriage. We can begin to take for granted being the church. It becomes more about simply attending church. And you don't always want to attend church. It's about attending or taking part here or there instead of being the church, the faithful spouse of Jesus Christ. For some, sometimes many, being the church has become a burden, inconvenient to their lives. Their relationship with Jesus is dangerous because it tends to get in the way of what they really want to do with their own lives. So it's easy to start to ignore Jesus. Let the communication get strained. Only praying when you're in great need, or prayer because it's what you're supposed to do, daily religious, let me say my prayers. But it's not coming from the heart. It's the same with reading the Scriptures. It's not a joy to spend time with our Lord and let His Word, who He is the Word that became flesh, let Him speak to us, spend time with Him. Now it becomes a chore, a burden, something that we might get to in our day if we have time. Imagine saying that to your husband or wife. I'll communicate with you today if I have time. Then, because they have this attitude towards church, being the church, their relationship with Jesus begins to grow apart because they're directly connected. Their love and passion starts to grow cold. Now, most of these people, they don't sue for divorce. They don't want to divorce Jesus Christ. They still want Him as Savior, but just not Lord, not spouse. They begin to neglect the relationship. They start focusing on their own needs and desires. In some cases, they begin to have affairs with the cares of this world, with sinfulness, and they cheat on their Lord and Savior. And that grieves the Holy Spirit, who is our communication line with God. So now the relationship is strained, growing apart. And that is where many fall away from just being in church. Being here reflects your relationship personally with Christ. Because if your relationship with Christ is correct, then you understand that you are the church. And the church is not to forsake the assembling together. Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day capitalized, the end of the age coming, approaching. You see, apathy can set into a church. Our commitment can start to fade. Other things in this world and life become more important than being the church. But being the church, and like I said, it's more than just attending church. It is understanding that we are betrothed to Christ. We are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ as the church. The Old Testament saints didn't have it. The angels don't have it. We do. He has fulfilled His commitment to us in this relationship. And He continues to fulfill them perfectly. The question is, are we fulfilling our commitment to Him? And we did make a commitment when we called upon Jesus to save us. If you are truly born again, then you have committed to Him. Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You see, coming to Christ in repentance is humbling yourself at the feet. And He is your Lord, Master, Owner. He's the head of you. And that's committing to Him. Yourself. Surrendering. By your own free will, Christ never forces you to do this. You enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship defined by the marriage covenant. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Symbolically, we leave this world, the father of this world, Satan and sin, and we leave that and we cling to Jesus Christ. And we become one with Jesus Christ. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That is us. We submit to everything. To Him. Husbands, likewise, love your wives. Christ is loving us. He gave His life for us. Ephesians 5, this is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. How important is it for a husband and wife to be committed to each other? It's very important. And I know the husbands and the wives in here take seriously their marriages. I know you do. You need to. And I know those in here who are not married. You have taken your commitment in the past, maybe before your spouse passed away. You took it seriously. Maybe some of you haven't been married yet. You know the spouses are to take this seriously. You don't enter into a marriage haphazardly. I think I said that right. My tongue's getting tied. You don't enter into it haphazardly. We all understand this. And if we don't enter into that relationship, which points to the greater relationship of Christ in the church, we should be committed to Jesus in the same way. So as I close, I'm going to go over a few minutes, but I know you're okay, but if you need to leave, please leave so. We will take your name though. Real quick, last few points and we're done. As believers, we now have eyes to see and ears to hear the spiritual truth of the mystery of God found in marriage. It's been explained to you. Hopefully I've done a well enough job. What we are going to do with this knowledge is what now matters. What are we going to do? You're just going to hear it and then go out the door like, oh, no big deal. Hasn't changed anything. This should change us. This changed me this week. This changed my relationship. I've never delved as deep as I did into this before. I never made the deep connections. This has changed me as a man, as a pastor this week. I could be offended with that. Woo! He finally changed for me and prayed! But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I'm glad too. Praise God. My prayer has been for you this week. So here, take what I have to say because this is what I ask God. God, how do you want me to close this? It's awesome what you have revealed, God. How do I close this? One, the marriage relationship designed by God in the beginning points to our unique relationship with Jesus Christ as His church, His bride. Are you a faithful spouse to Jesus Christ? These are rhetorical questions. Do not answer, please. Answer to yourself and to your Lord. Are you a faithful spouse to Jesus? Do you have wandering eyes as a Christian? Nothing worse for a wife that have a husband who has wandering eyes. As being betrothed to Jesus Christ. Do you have wandering eyes? A divided heart. Are you emotionally disconnected or distant from a passionate, faithful relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you just going through the emotions? Has apathy, complacency set in as being the church? Do you truly love your spouse, Jesus Christ? As the church, as the bride of Christ, the church is not just one person, it's all of us together. Yes, you're still the church when you're out there playing on the field, but we're a church together. We're the bride. That is why we do not forsake the assembling together. We want to be here together. Stronger than when we are connected, when we're invested in this body. God has called us to this body. This church of the universal church of Christ, this is our local body. He has called us to be. And here is where our relationship with Jesus Christ plays out. It's not about attending First Baptist. It's about being First Baptist. It's about being the Great Commission. It's about coming here realizing this is part of our relationship with our Lord. We are His church. But too many people allow too many things to pull them away so they don't get invested. They're not here on a regular basis. And I'm not saying this is just because of pastor and I want everyone to be here and fill up the pews. I am telling you what the Lord has put on our heart, what the Lord has put in His Scripture. Do not forsake the assembling together. And if church is a burden, if church is something you just have to do, but if you can find something better to do, or if you want to just stay home, then your relationship with Christ has become unfaithful. I don't mean to yell. I'm trying not to cry. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. That's who I used to be. God has changed me. Now today, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to yell at people. But God is saying, listen! Being the church is not about going to church. Because that can become a burden. It's about being the church and coming together as the church, as the bride. And if church is a burden or church is something that you don't really care about doing, but you do it, but if you find some reason not to do it, then you jump on it. I'm telling you, God is telling you from your Scriptures, your personal relationship is strained. Unfaithfulness has set in. Complacency. Apathy. Religion. Religious people. And you don't want to be that. Just like you want a faithful husband, a dynamic marriage, Christ wants that with you. Church is something that can be replaced with something else in this world. You are missing the mark as a believer. If church is a religious obligation, you are missing the mark. If church is something just done on Sunday morning, you are missing the mark. You're falling short. Church is who we are supposed to be. We are the bride. We are supposed to be the faithful spouse of Christ. We love being the church because we love Jesus Christ. We plug in more than just on Sunday morning. We're designed to plug into Bible studies and to grow with each other and get equipped with each other, train together, practice together, and then go be the church. We want to see this body grow, not because of our vanity, but because we're reaching people with Jesus Christ. The church is made up of individuals. We are to be faithful. We are to be a faithful spouse to our Lord. The church. Is our church pointing people to Christ? Is our church winning souls to Jesus Christ? And I'm not asking, are some people in the church doing these things? I'm asking you. Let me clarify that. God, let me clarify this. Jesus Christ. Is asking you, are you committed to Him? Are you submitting to what He has asked you to do? Are you pointing people to Jesus Christ? Many churches today are not pointing anyone. Statistically, 90% of to 95% of people sitting in churches will never share the gospel with somebody and never share the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Whew. For all of us here who are born again believers, we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are in covenant relationship with Jesus. We're to be holy and blameless before Jesus, abstaining from sinfulness. We are to be communicating with Jesus through constant prayer and the study of the Word of God, the Word of God that sanctifies us. Then we submit to the calling upon our life for each one of us to be His witnesses, to share what Christ has done for us, to take the gospel to those who are lost. But if we are not faithfully seeking our relationship with Jesus, if we are not growing in sanctification, if we're not reaching the lost, then we have become unfaithful in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are not taking this stuff seriously, you have become an unfaithful spouse. And it can happen to all of us if we're not careful. Just like in marriage, both the husband and the wife are to submit to one another in the relationship. An unfaithful spouse in a marriage destroys a marriage. It is the same in our relationship with Jesus as the church. Unfaithfulness destroys the church. Are you truly submitting to Jesus today? Are you being a faithful spouse or an unfaithful one? Are you living for Him and His needs, His desires, or your own? Are you submitting to His will or your own? Our church will only be as strong and faithful as the members who make up this body. Will we be a faithful church to the very end? Will we be able to tell our Lord and Savior that we were about His business? Or will we let apathy set in with complacency taking over? Will our relationship with Jesus become distant, religious in nature instead of personal and passionate? Will we lose our first love? Will our love grow cold? Will we go just through the motions of a relationship? Or will we honor and cherish our relationship with Jesus? Will our love grow cold and mechanical, or vibrant and alive? Will we compromise with the cares of this world? Will we teach that to the next generation? That's what happened in many churches. The next generation disappears because the generation before them taught them a false Christianity with no passion, no zeal. Complacency and apathy is what was taught. And the next generation falls away. Lastly, I believe that our relationship with Jesus is going to be tested in the days ahead. This world is changing rapidly. I'm going to talk a little more about that in the 2 weeks coming up. It's changing. Our government's changing. Our country's changing. The world is changing. Folks, you're going to need this relationship to be solid. If your relationship with Christ is not solid, a wife and a husband can handle hard times when their marriage and relationship is strong. But when hard times come and the relationship isn't there, marriages fall apart. There's hard times coming, folks. How strong is your relationship with Christ? Closing. Four sentences. Let each one of us, from young to old, young meaning to the age where you really understand your need for Jesus Christ and you can be born again, the age of accountability. From young to old, commit ourselves to being faithful in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful as His church, the bride. We understand the mysteries of God now. We have a relationship with Jesus the Old Testament saints did not have, but they longed for. And look how faithful they were and what they went through. We have a relationship the angels don't even have. What a blessing that we have today. Stop thinking about going to church, because that can be a burden. But being the church, being the bride. What are we going to do with this amazing blessing? This amazing relationship that has been handed to us. through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray from the bottom of my heart and soul that I did not cross any line here today in giving the word, raising my voice, and it wasn't raised in anger. I hope I didn't offend anybody, because that was not my intent. Or to shame anybody. That wasn't my intent. My intent is for us to truly grasp what we've been missing. Going to the next level in our relationship with you, or going deeper in our relationship with you. Understanding the mysteries of God. Understanding what we are a part of as the church. But most of all, Lord, to understand that the relationship we have with you is more than a surface relationship. It's more than just a relationship of being a Savior. It's Lord. It's Master. And it's as unique and special as marriage. Lord, help us to understand how privileged we are. And as privileged believers in Christ, that we love you as you deserve. And we submit to you in everything as your church, as your spouse, as your bride. We pray this in your name. Amen. We need to close in a song, so 3 more minutes, and this song just sums it all up.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second chance in sight. I heard you call my name, I felt you lift my shame, and I made a vow that day that I'd spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus, showing my telling my story of how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my heart, just to see all the ones I love loving my Jesus. Sin tries to make you high, whispers that same old lie. Keep all your pain inside, cause no one will understand. The last thing this lost world needs is someone I'm telling my story of how much
Thank you for your grace this morning, sticking with me. God is asking us to be heroes. That's Team Jesus. Hero. Heroes. Because the world is going down. It's coming to an end. We're seeing all the signs. There's lost souls out there. And we're the firemen called to go out into a burning world and save lost souls. We're the soldiers to go out and do the fighting in the spiritual realms. We're the heroes God is asking us to be heroes, to be His church. Get the job done. Go on the playing field and give it all we got. Because it's for Him. It's for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's break on the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.